Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pevitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hi, we're here at the South Bank again this week for another podcast. And we're surrounded by the Tunnel of Love yet again, sitting on some deck chairs. And this week's podcast is all about the art of loving. And we first came across the notion of the art of loving at the School of Life. We went to a talk in January called How to Make Love Last. It's led by a guy called Brennan Jacoby. He's a doctor of philosophy and he specializes in trust and relationships. And one of the most interesting things that we learned in this talk is that love can be cultivated and learned, and that we can grow our skill in the art of loving. And I'd never heard the phrase the art of loving before. I don't know about you, but it was such a new thing to me.
Yeah, the whole notion that you could actually learn to love in a better way, and that it was something you could improve on, and that you could, you know, increase your capacity to love, and that there was a whole way of learning about it. It was massive for me, because it was always something I felt that I was just a bit rubbish at. And to the idea that I could learn to be good at it, and therefore good at relationships and good at dating and all the different elements of it, was a really exciting sense of empowerment in a way. For want of a better word, I guess it was. Yeah, I felt that actually I now had more control over my love life.
And not only with a future partner, but also with friends and family. You know, in our relationships, by learning the skill and learning this art of loving, it can benefit all of our relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in all of this, whenever we're talking about love, it is always to remember, just like the Festival of Love here at the South Bank, and the way that, you know, the Greeks looked at it, had 30 ways to talk about love, is to just remind us that actually it's not just about romantic relationships. You know, when it comes to love and loving others and the art of loving, we're talking about love, you know, with friends and family and colleagues, as well as romantic partners. So yeah, as we briefly touched on in our first podcast, there is no how-to manual for love. Whilst we're born with an intrinsic desire to love and connect, we're not born with an inbuilt knowledge of exactly how to love and to make it last. And I think, you know, when we look at, for many of us, we don't have great models of how to love from our parents. They, you know, they do their best, but they weren't necessarily taught how to love or given a good guidance system. And it's like anything in life. It's just like if you're given absolutely no guidance and you're asked to sort of find your way blindly, and you haven't been given particularly good examples in your upbringing of how to do it, then you're kind of left with a rubbish example of how to do it, and a rubbish example of things to draw upon. So the idea that there is an art of loving and it can be taught, to me, is really exciting and has such a profound impact on our relationships.
I think, you know, a lot of us have been brought up without a model, as you said, and also the expectations that of what a relationship should feel like, should look like, that we've been influenced by rom-coms and songs and all sorts of things that have given us this idea of the kind of ideal relationship that actually doesn't exist.
I think often we confuse, you know, love and being in a relationship. We imagine that ideal relationship. I think we confuse it with perfection.
Yeah.
And that feeling of like, oh yeah, everything's perfect, everything's fine now, and our ideas of relationships and what they should be like, it should be all perfect and it should be easy and there should be no effort that's made. And it's like, well, good luck, because if that's what you're expecting, then you're gonna, you know, really be in for disappointment.
But I think there is this stigma attached to making an effort in love, and that it shouldn't be something that you have to learn. You should just know it. You should be able to effortlessly form a really healthy relationship, you know, with no guidance, no support, and that it should feel spontaneous and fun, and oh, if you have to work at it, then there's something wrong. And it's a shame that there is that stigma, and I've definitely experienced that. But there are tools, there are things coming out that, you know, can help us to form a really healthy model, and anyone can be your teacher, you know, not just parents, but we don't tend to realize that maybe until later life.
I think sometimes we feel a sense of failure if we feel like we don't automatically know how to be good lovers.
Yeah.
And I don't mean lovers like, you know, but I mean lovers in every sense of it. And so I think, you know, and like you say, there is so much stigma, and all the guidance that's out there on love is so cheesy and like covered in pink. And I, you know, definitely one of the things that we wanted to do with Project Love is to unwrap that, get down some of that really good practical wisdom that is already out there, and to, you know, give it to people in a way that, that takes away that stigma, making it fun, making it accessible, but also showing how important it is and how, you know, smart, intelligent people do go and seek out guidance on how to increase their capacity to love, how to be really good in relationships. You know, my soon-to-be sister-in-law is reading up on how to be, you know, how to have a good marriage, because she wants to marry my brother, and she, you know, she wants to be really good at marriage, and I love that. And I'm just like, yeah, I want to be really good at relationships, all kinds of relationships. I want to be good at friendships. I want to be good at working relationships. I want to be good at romantic relationships. And so why shouldn't we go out there and learn about the art of loving? At the end of the day, it's what the Dalai Lama is all about. So if he can be into it, then, you know, I think any of us can be into it.
So you kind of see how we got to this place. If you think back at, you know, when we were at school, right, there's no lessons on how to form a healthy relationship. Yeah, we all learn how to put on a condom on a banana in sex education. But there aren't any lessons in emotional health.
No.
And maybe one day, as Project Love expands and grows in the future, maybe we do start speaking to kids. Because why not? Like, why shouldn't we learn those things when we're younger?
Oh, absolutely. Imagine the difference it would make. Mm. I can see you teaching kids at school about love.
I can see you too. So there's a quote that we really like that relates to this, and it goes, "For one human being to love another, that is perhaps the most difficult of all our tasks. The ultimate, the last test and proof, the work for which all other work is but preparation."
It is hard.
Yeah. It is, and there shouldn't be this stigma attached to making an effort and trying to learn this skill and trying to, you know, trying to build a set of tools that can help you in your relationships. It's a really positive thing.
Absolutely, and I think we're doing such a disservice to ourselves and setting ourselves up for real problems if we think that being in a relationship and building a strong, healthy relationship with another person, if we think that should be easy, then we're really setting ourselves up to fail and make it really hard for ourselves, because then when you do come up against, you know, difficulties, then you're going to want to run away. You want to kind of give up.
Yes,
you think there's something wrong. You want to hide. You want to stop. You know, you're going to stop putting yourself out there. And so if you want to make it last, and if you really want to, you know, keep love alive, of course you have to work at it. And I think it's reassuring to say to people, whether they're looking for love or at the start of a relationship or 20 years down the line in a relationship, it's just like, well, of course you have your moments where it's hard. Like, having a relationship with yourself is hard enough. Share that with another human being with their own different set of, like, demons and issues. It's just like, it's going to be a roller coaster ride.
Well, we just actually nipped up to the Hayward Gallery and saw this really interesting, it's like a sculpture called The Kiss. And there's a video there, and it's got two people with like clay on their heads, and they're basically forming the clay shapes. It looks like they're kissing, and they, you can see the video of this clay being formed, and as the two, obviously they can't see each other, but they're using their hands to shape the clay. It's a really nice metaphor for how we shape each other in a relationship, and how the things we do and are, the things we touch, our behavior influences that other person. And of course you need guidance in that area. It's bloody complex. Sometimes the dynamics between two people, you know, friendships, for example, they can be difficult. So having some guidance in this area, but also just the knowledge that we can have guidance in this area, we can find it, and that we can learn it, can be a really powerful message in the future.
It is a lot to do with communication skills when it comes to the art of loving. And again, like I say, you know, that can be in when you're dating someone, you're first making that first point of contact, or, you know, 20 years down the line when you're working through issues that have come up. I think communication, learning the art of communication is a big part of learning to love. And it's very much about the art of loving is learning how to give love, and it's also learning how to receive love.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's sometimes something that, yeah, we do struggle with. We're not immediately set up to receiving love and giving love wholeheartedly.
So the Art of Loving actually came about in the School of Life talk in reference to a book. And we referenced this book ourselves
a million times.
Yeah, as I say, in a previous podcast, it's actually been all of them. And probably the last time we referenced it is we don't want it to be repetitive. But the reason why we talk about it is just because it really made us think differently about love. And Frome, the author, asked the question, is love an art? And he'd asked, is love a pleasant sensation? And it's experienced as a matter of chance, something that you fall into if you're lucky. And he had said, well, no, it's actually a skill that can be learned.
Mm.
And he talks about three problems as to why we were kind of a bit confused about love and why we're maybe looking at it as a sensation versus an actual art. And the first premise references a problem of people seeing love primarily as that of being loved rather than that of loving.
Mm.
So if you think of loving, that's a capacity to love, that's an action, that's a verb. But being loved is a doing word.
It's passive. Like, it's completely passive.
Yeah. All your efforts and attention is going to be focused on how can I be more lovable.
Yeah. Which completely takes us away entirely from the whole notion of the art of loving and taking any responsibility.
Yeah.
For how you are in love and how you receive love and how you give love. It's just about being, you know, a sitting duck and waiting to receive love like a gift.
Yeah, but also, like, how do you define lovable? Is it about how you look? I mean, majority of us would probably think, well, it's...
That's the message that media and advertising gives us, yeah.
So then if you do define being lovable as how you look, then, of course, all your efforts are going to be invested into how you look.
Yeah,
want a better phrase.
Exactly. So you can be spending your money on clothes and makeup and looking good and looking like the right person rather than investing any time in your relationship with yourself and investing time in learning the art of loving. And that is actually what's going to lead to you having a happy and fulfilling relationship in life, or relationships, as opposed to, you know, wearing the right skirt on a Friday night.
Yeah.
But that is how much... Which can be important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, fun.
Just not the it's pinnacle.
Not, exactly. It's not the route to, you know, love and happiness. And I just think that, you know, we are... I think a lot of people are being sent completely off course due to the media messages we're being given about how to find love. And how to, you know, and what love is all about. It's not about being lovable. It's about loving, receiving, giving it.
The act of loving. Mm. The second premise behind the attitude, there's nothing to be learned about love, the assumption that the problem of love is the problem of an object and not the problem of a faculty. So people think that love is simple, but actually to find the right object of love or to be loved by, that's difficult. So then it becomes less about the action of loving and it becomes more about who am I going to love and where am I going to find them.
Yeah. And again, it's based on the attributes that a person has. So it's based on you judging someone's worthiness to be loved.
Yeah.
That world where people are judging one another in terms of how lovable they think one another is.
Yeah.
It's a horrible world to be in.
Yeah.
Where you're being judged of whether you're worthy to be loved as opposed to, well, just going out there, being open-hearted and seeing who you're genuinely attracted to.
Mm. Yeah, and I think there is a tendency sometimes to see love as a transactional model where, you know, it's based on needs. So I need all needs and wants. I want to be happy and I feel like someone else is going to give that to me and I'm not taking responsibility for that myself.
Yeah.
And that I can find, once I find someone to give that to me, then I will be happy. But it doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. Which, yet again, you're really setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah. And then the third error in this assumption is the confusion between the initial experience of falling in love and the permanent state of being in love. Or, as we may better say it, standing in love.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I mean, in the talk as well, this was another moment where we're like, ooh, standing in love.
Like, yes.
That's just such a new way of looking at it. And, you know, we all use this really passive language, like falling in love or, I was swept off my feet. And all of this language is prevalent in films we watch and, you know, the things we say and the things we're fed by media. And actually that action, it doesn't tell you what happens next, like what happens after you fall in love, what happens after the fairy tale, like what can we look at The Little Mermaid 10 years down the line when they're having marriage problems or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't really bear that kind of other phase into consideration, and that is of loving. So once I fall in love, then what happens? Like, and that actual standing in love is an everyday practice.
Mm.
And we can all learn to stand in love and experience love in the everyday, no matter what our circumstances.
Yeah, and operate from a place of love, rather than yet again expecting it to happen to you.
Yeah.
And it's by standing in love, you're immediately taking power back for yourself,
yeah,
rather than handing your fate of having a loving life over to this mysterious wind of love that's going to come through and have you falling in love and being in love.
You know, there are many languages of love, and we don't all give it and receive it in the same way. Now we're here in the South Bank to reference all of the Greek forms of love that they mention. And one of them is shared experiences. And
yeah,
it's got this picture of two people just looking in the same direction, versus the eros, which is the romantic love where they're getting into you with it. And then there's like the flirtatious love, and then there's playfulness side. And then there's family love and
this kind of companionship love.
Companionship, and then there's love of humanity, I think, was another one.
Yeah, yeah.
And we often talk about the romantic love, and when you think about all of the other types, and you realize how people express their love in completely different ways, and you know, that's kind of consistent with their individual values, that may not be necessarily aligned to yours, but you can still speak, you can still communicate, you just have to understand each other's languages. So between two people, there could be, I could really value acts of love, like Pav making me a cup of tea every day, which I do value, Pav, if you're listening. But he maybe could look at, he could value other things. So it could be like things I say, like how I act, like could be like through touch, through an experience we do together. It could be a variety of different ways. But
quality time together.
Yeah.
Or sometimes people really like positive affirmations, like, yeah, you're doing well, or I really like you, or you look great today.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And other people like really kind of helpful, handyman, practical tasks. Like when someone's like, you know, fixing my doorknob or a light bulb or something, I'm like, oh, all looked after, thanks. And you just don't know actually what the things are that you're going to respond to. And
yeah,
apparently, in terms of the languages of love, like, it's definitely a book we need to read and review for these podcasts. But quite often, the love that you like, the way you like to receive love, can be different to the way you like to give love. So
yeah,
maybe you like to give love through little spontaneous gifts, but the way you like to receive love is through positive affirmations,
yeah,
and quality time. Let's talk today about how you can start practicing the art of loving.
So we've come up with three ways that you can start practicing the art of loving. And the first one is to actually commit to being loving. So there are many times when we probably, you know, get frustrated, or we feel like these kind of emotions of resentment or guilt, and they are some of the barriers to experiencing love in the moment. And we always have a choice in those situations, that we can choose to be loving instead. There's one school of thought that actually said there's only ever two ways of looking at someone, through fear or through love. And you can always choose to see something through love, and when you actually choose to do that, it switches your mindset, actually uses different neural pathways in your brain, so you are experiencing different things.
And you can choose, you know, it's so easy to say, well, I can't, particularly when you're in that thing, well, I can't just choose to see this through love. And it's like, you really can.
Yeah.
You just have to be willing to. Willingness is such a huge part in all of this. It's just like, if you just start with the willingness to learn the art of loving, and the willingness to commit to being loving.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and the willingness to choose to be coming from love as opposed to fear.
Yeah.
Then things do start to shift.
Yeah.
So the second one is, be open to receiving love. For example, if someone gives you a compliment, just say thank you, rather than trying to go, oh, what, this whole thing?
Oh, me?
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, if even someone offers to buy you a drink, or offers to do something for you. And I'm not just talking in a romantic capacity. I'm talking about it could be a friend, it could be a stranger, it could be a colleague. It's about practicing receiving love, because I think a lot of the time we feel there's a certain vulnerability involved in being open to receiving love, and there's a certain control. And, you know, particularly if we've been single for a while, you kind of toughen up and you want to be capable and self-sufficient, so you don't feel like you're lacking in some way.
Yeah.
And so I think opening up to receiving love is so key in the art of loving, in all stages, whether you're looking for love, you're in a relationship, but really particularly when you are wanting to find love, a big part of getting ready for love is to start opening yourself up to receiving love. And you can practice that in just really simple ways, like maybe someone offers you a seat on the tube, and rather than saying no, why don't you just say yes? Because also, when you accept someone's offer of love and you accept it, you're giving something back to them.
Yeah.
And if you say no, or you rebuff a comment, you know, a compliment, you're actually rejecting their offers of love. So think of it in that way. So that's a really important one. It's one that you can start whether you're in a relationship or whether you're looking for love or whatever stage you're at.
Selena actually just altered my deck chair for me because I was sick of it wonky and I couldn't figure out why. And she came over and just tweaked it. And it's like, yeah, there's an act of love.
It is in the small things though, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So opening up to receive love, but also then the third way is giving love. So thinking of a way that you could give love to a friend or family member, or a partner this week. So it could be as simple as when that person's talking to you, really look them in the eye and really listen to what they're saying. And it sounds easier said than done, but it's incredibly difficult at times to hold someone's eye contact. I think we all are guilty of, we've got a million one things on our mind. And when people are talking to us, we can often seem a bit distracted and, you know, maybe on our phones or kind of half listening. Next time you do have a conversation with someone who's important to you, just put the phone down, look at them, move your body so that you're really facing them and looking open and engaged in what they're saying. And just notice if there's any shift. And that person will, on the receiving end, will just feel so validated, so engaged with. And those kind of things, those really small tweaks can transform relationships.
And it's about thoughtfulness, isn't it, as well? Yeah. It's like, you know, getting someone their favourite drink, you haven't been passing the shop, and so, you know, you're on your way to meet them, so you get your favourite drink.
Like Fonz does for pals.
Exactly. People have no idea who we're talking about. It's this little bromance that we know that goes on. And it's, but that's the whole point. You know, you can do it amongst friends, and the more you practice doing it on a regular basis, the more it will, you know, just enrich all your relationships.
Yeah.
And if you are looking for love, it really does do something. It kind of shifts the whole vibe that you're giving off, that you're open to love, that you're receiving love, that you're engaging in love, and that you're practicing the art of loving. So you're ready.
Flexing that love muscle. Well, that wraps up this week's podcast on the art of loving. And this is a huge topic, and we're just getting started with it, really. So you'll hear lots more on that to come.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-day online course to transform your love life. As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots throughout your journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it. It really is gorgeous in there. Head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love to sign up. And if you'd like to find out more about love coaching with me, Vicky, then head to Coaching and Courses over on loveprojectlove.com.